Hey, what's up, Flatirons Online? So glad that you guys are joining us. My name's Josh. I'm the campus pastor here at our Aurora campus. Man, we just love our online community. And one of the reasons why is because you can watch us from anywhere. Maybe you're here in Colorado, in the United States, or maybe even across the ocean. Man, we're just so glad that you're here. Would you leave us a comment down below? Let us know where you're watching from. And hey, if you are local, I'm standing in our lobby at our Aurora campus. We have five locations across the Denver metro area in Lafayette, Longmont, Denver, Aurora, and West. We would love to see you at one of our physical locations. So come check us out. We would love to see you in person. And hey, would you do this for us? Would you share this video? Man, if you love what's happening here, if you're impacted in any way by today's service, would you share and like this video? And if you haven't already, would you subscribe to our YouTube page? We would love to stay connected with you as God continues to do amazing things here at Flatirons. Hey, we love you. So glad that you're here. Enjoy today's service.
Man, I don't know about you, today I was at a soccer most of the day and I was getting a sunburn and I didn't care. You know, I'm just like, my bald head is getting so sunburned and I'm like, I don't care, I just need the sunshine. It is so good, so glad to have you guys here. And we're in a series right now called Alive. We're talking about like the faith essentials that you will need as you encounter the different things in life. We're kind of making some comparisons to what you take on a camping trip. Today's would be fire, and this week we're gonna get right into it because we got a lot to cover and we don't have a lot of time. And so today we're picking up right where we left off last week. Today we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And when I say that we're talking about the Holy Spirit today, I know what's happening in the room, okay? Part of the room is indifferent. Kind of like, okay, the Holy Spirit wasn't really talked about at church that much when I grew up. And then another part of the room, they're getting very excited right now, okay? We call them the Holy Spirit people, okay? They're really excited. And then the last part of the room, they have no idea what we're talking about, okay? Because they first came to church like a couple weeks ago, maybe they got baptized on Easter, and they're like, I know about God and I've heard about Jesus, but what exactly is the Holy Spirit? So today, I'm going to be talking to people who both have a lot of experience and thoughts about the Holy Spirit and then people who don't know anything about him. And I think that there are three reasons Christians don't talk about the Holy Spirit very often. The first one is this, maybe you can resonate with this. There have been times where the Holy Spirit is associated with televangelists or preachers who preach the prosperity gospel. So it's kind of like, hey, you just believe the right things and do the right things. And by the way, donate to my ministry and then you'll always be healthy. You'll always be wealthy. Nothing bad will ever happen to you. And then some of us, we've had bad experiences for people speaking for or acting for the Holy Spirit growing up, where like we saw people and they faked healings or they told us that we weren't saved because we didn't manifest a certain gift. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. We had a bad experience with what we thought was the Holy Spirit. And then another reason that we don't talk about the Holy Spirit is, and I'm going to step on a couple toes here, but sometimes the Holy Spirit people we know are just weird, okay? and if you're like, really? There are weird Holy Spirit people? I just want to point that out, okay? Like, you might just want to take a look. But at the same time, we can't, in this room, we can't online, we cannot dismiss the Holy Spirit just because some things associated with him feel weird. I just want to say this. Maybe it feels weird, not because it isn't right, but maybe it feels weird because our culture is getting things so wrong. Okay, I turned 40 a couple weeks back, so now I'm an old man, and my hairline shows it. And I celebrated with a gathering of small men, a small group of men who, they've shaped my life, small men, hilarious. This small group of men who shaped my life, and they're just, these guys are so, so, so important to me. And for me, it was an evening of gratitude and honoring these men. At my party, there are a bunch of like some pastors, and there are some mentors, there are some friends. Almost all of them are Christians, except for my friend Scott. And during the course of the evening, the guys surprised me. They like took some time, we sat in a circle, and every single person there told me the gold that they saw in me. They encouraged me. Then they surrounded me and they prayed for me. And it was just this incredible moment. I'll remember it for the rest of my life. And at the same time, I kept on thinking, I wonder what this feels like for my friend Scott, who doesn't believe any of this. Okay, but I then started thinking, if it was weird to him, and that might be weird to some of us right now, I don't think that it's weird because it's wrong. Instead, I would say this, it's not weird because it's wrong, it's weird because it's uncommon. You see, how different would our world be if all men took time to encourage each other and speak life into each other and pray for each other? You see, what feels weird, in fact, may be just what we truly need. And so for us in the room who call ourselves Christians, there's a warning that I don't want us to miss in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, and it just says this: do not quench the Spirit. Do not extinguish the work of the Spirit. Do not ignore the Spirit. Do not minimize the Spirit. And you remember this from last week in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit filled people in Acts 2. We covered it. Jim talked about it last week. Do you remember how some of the people there responded when they saw what was happening? They mocked what was happening. They pointed to what the Spirit was doing. And they said, those people, they've just had too much to drink. That's not actually happening. And so often, I want us to be careful that when we see what the Holy Spirit is doing, sometimes we'll say, I don't know. Or we'll try to rationalize it away. Flatirons, we've got to be careful to not quench the Spirit. I would rather be accused of being spiritually gullible than spiritually cynical and then missing what God has for us. And so today, we're going to talk about the Spirit. And it would take us an entire series to teach through this whole thing, okay? So consider this just an overview of it. First off, we got to talk about what the Holy Spirit isn't, all right? The Holy Spirit is not the Force from Star Wars. Okay, some of us are like, that'd be awesome if it was. The Holy Spirit is not the Force from Star Wars. The Holy Spirit is also not the genie from Aladdin that just pops up when we need him, okay? The Holy Spirit also is not an it. Jim mentioned this last week. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a he. The Holy Spirit's also not the lesser member of the Trinity, okay? It's not like you got God and then Jesus and then the Holy Spirit is a footnote over here. No, you got three people, three persons who are all fully God. He's also not something that was just for people in the New Testament but isn't for us today. He's also someone who's only available for spiritual elites. The Holy Spirit is for you and me today, no matter how long we've been following Jesus. And he is just as important to talk about as God the Father and Jesus the Son. Right before his crucifixion, Jesus, he sat down his disciples. He told them some final words. He said, like, these are the things that you got to hold on to when I'm not with you any longer. And so these are like the most important things that Jesus wanted to tell them. It's going to be in John chapter 16, if you want to turn there in your Bible. In John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus says this. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. And when he comes, this is one of the things that he's going to do. He'll convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And then Jesus says, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now, which means I want to tell you, but right now you can't handle it. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. And he'll glorify me, for he'll take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, and therefore I said that he'll take what's mine and he'll declare it to you. So Jesus, I just want you to think about this. Jesus is going to leave the disciples. In a few days, he's going to be crucified. But after this, after the resurrection, Jesus could have stuck around with the disciples. I mean, Jim talked about this a couple weeks after Easter, okay? Jesus had some time after he rose from the dead, and he spent that time with the disciples. He could have kept on leading them in person after the resurrection forever. But instead, Jesus says, it's actually better, it's actually to your advantage that I go away. He says, it's better that I go. Now, if I had to choose having Jesus with me or the Holy Spirit in me, I gotta be honest. I think I choose to roll with Jesus. Does that make sense? I mean, think about it. If Jesus was in my group, when somebody gets sick, just call Jesus and Jesus is gonna heal them. I mean, when I got a question about God, like, Jesus knows the answer. He is God. If I want to know, like, why did the dinosaurs go extinct? Okay, it'd be so cool if they were around. Jesus was there and he could tell you. You think about it, like, if you're at a party and you run out of wine, just fill up some water pitchers. And with Jesus, the party's going to keep on going, okay? If you want Chick-fil-A and Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays, if Jesus can walk on water, I'm sure that he can open a Chick-fil-A on Sunday. All right, and if your dog dies, Jesus could resurrect your dog. If your cat dies, Jesus can help you dig a hole to bury your cat, okay? Like, he knew it was coming. I just want, most followers of Jesus, if we had the choice, we would say, I would rather have Jesus with me than the Spirit in me. But according to Jesus, that shows a misunderstanding of the power and the potential and the role of the Holy Spirit. We don't fully understand the power of the Spirit until we can agree with Jesus that it's better to have the Spirit in us than Jesus beside us. Jesus would actually come tell us, if that's the way we're thinking, if that's what we think about the Holy Spirit, he would say, hey, you guys, it's great that you believe in me, but you actually don't believe me and believe what I said, because what I said is it's better that I go. And Jim talked about this last week. I just thought it was so good. He talked about the life of the Spirit and the life of Peter. And if you didn't watch last week, go back and watch it. But after 3 years of the best small group ever, Peter, he hasn't really changed. But then just 50 days after this small group ends, with the Spirit, everything about Peter changes. And so many of us, we can read that story and we can look at Peter. We can say, I can believe that's true for Peter. But I don't know if that's actually true for me. And I want to give you an analogy for life without the Spirit. And this is not perfect, okay? So don't get stuck on it. But I think it'll give you a small picture of what it looks like, okay? Living your life without the Spirit is like trying to use your phone without your thumbs. Okay, I want this to stick with you. I want you to just, if you pull out your phone and imagine trying to use your phone without your thumbs. Okay, there are some things that you'll try and, like, you won't notice that anything's missing. There are some things that you're gonna try and they're gonna be way more difficult than they have to be. And then there are some things that you'll try to do and they're gonna be impossible. I mean, imagine hitchhiking without a thumb. All right, like, just hold out your hand, people are just gonna fist bump you the whole time because you don't have any thumbs. Okay, and I think, here's the thing. I think the same thing is true of us trying to live our lives without the Holy Spirit. There are some things that we'll do and we won't notice anything missing. Then there are some things that we'll do and they'll just be so much more difficult without the Holy Spirit. And then there will be some things that we'll try to do that will be impossible without him. And if a veteran who lost their thumbs, who's had to figure out how to make life work without thumbs, saw you going around living your life like you didn't have any thumbs, even when you had them still attached, they'd look at you and they'd go like, what are you doing? If you've got thumbs, why don't you use them? But for so many of us, this describes how we engage with the Holy Spirit. And let me be serious with you for a second. If there is a spiritual battle going on right now, if there are dark forces that want to steal, kill, and destroy everything important to you, some of us are going into battle with only accessing 2/3 of the Trinity. We're going into battle without a full arsenal. And during Jesus' ministry on earth, there are over 80 times the scriptures talk about how Jesus was led by the Spirit, full of the Spirit. He did miracles through the Spirit. He made decisions at the leading of the Spirit. And so if we think that we can go into the battle and fight that battle without the power of the Spirit, then we're assuming that we don't need what Jesus himself needed. So in prep for this message, I have listened to hours and hours of podcasts. I've read commentaries. I've read articles. And there are dozens of things that the Holy Spirit does for us. And today, I want to put them in 5 categories so that we can remember. I believe these are the 5 categories we need today. These are the roles of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers, he encourages, he gifts, he guides, and he intercedes. He empowers, encourages, gifts, guides, and intercedes. The Holy Spirit, we'll take these one by one. The Holy Spirit empowers. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus promises his disciples, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. See, the Holy Spirit will give you the power to do things with him that you cannot do on your own. Jim said it this way last week. He said this. He said, when a person receives and is filled with the Holy Spirit, the person receives the power and ability to do what they could not do without the Holy Spirit. It looks kind of like this.
I was leading myself to my own grave with exotic dancing, escorting, cartel, being trafficked, meth labs, meth busts, abuse, jail. I was an addict for 16 years, surrounded by complete and utter chaos and insanity. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I was engulfed in sin in every way imaginable, completely unaware that the Holy Spirit wanted nothing more than to live in me. Looking back, I feel horrible that I was not providing a safe place for him to live. 4.5 years ago, I started over with just the clothes on my back. God had to get me to a place where I had nothing and no one to turn to but him. And then he used my addiction to bring me closer to him than ever before, and for that alone, I am grateful. After a brain aneurysm leaving me alone in the ICU with not a single person by my side through one of the most scariest and surreal moments of my life, I was convinced I was going to die alone and miserable, and all I could think about was my son. It was at that time that I realized that I knew with great certainty that no amount of crying was going to help me, and no amount of self-pity would have the power to change the path I was on. I finally realized that it didn't matter where I was at and who was there and who wasn't. All I had to do was place my focus on Jesus, and God provided the rest step by step. I was about a month into recovery when I distinctively thought to myself, I have no idea how I'm gonna live life on life's terms. That's all I know is where I came from. And then in that moment, the Holy Spirit said, cling to me like your life depends on it, because it does. And I knew I needed to get to know the God of the Bible. God had found his lost sheep. My prayer then became me asking God to please search my heart, take everything out that is of me, and replace it with everything that is of you, so that I may walk boldly in your truth. I had to get out of my way, lean on Jesus, repeatedly abandon my old way of thinking, work through that vulnerability and pride, and embrace that he's all I've got.
This is my repentance. I'm sorry. I love you. I'm coming home.
Like walking with the Lord, I feel clean and new. And broken, I'm whole, a vessel for the kingdom. Yeah. Literally asking myself, right, is every step I'm taking, is it going to produce life or death? It is that serious. We're talking now in on earth and in the spiritual realm of things. Like, it is that serious. I want to encourage anybody that's in this room, if you are freshly into change, or you've been here for a while and you are in the mundane, teetering with your struggles to go one way or the other, I want to inspire you with excitement and curiosity. What will happen if you keep pressing forward with God at the center of everything you do, praising him in the valleys and on the mountaintops, and simply focus on doing the next right thing? You are worth Jesus's blood.
I just, I love hearing stories about how God is at work, people in this church, how the Holy Spirit is at work. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do things we could not do on our own. So I want you to imagine you've been leading your business on your own. Imagine what you could do with the Spirit. You've been trying to raise those kids on your own. Imagine what you could do with the Spirit. You've been working on having a better marriage on your own. Imagine what you could do with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will empower you to do things with Him you cannot do on your own. The next thing the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit encourages. One of the names for the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. The Holy Spirit comforts us and encourages us, and He recenters us on the truth. He reminds you of the truth so that you can have the courage to do what God's called you to do. Jesus said it this way in John 14. He said, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things, and He's going to bring to remembrance all that I have said to you." The Holy Spirit is actually the fulfillment of a prophecy that was made 700 years earlier. This is going to get so cool. I'm going to nerd out for you a little bit, okay? But in the Old Testament, God's people, they valued God's word, which they called the law. They valued God's word so much that they would write down tiny sections of scripture on these tiny little scrolls. They'd roll them up. They put them in containers. Then they would fasten these containers around their foreheads and then to their arms because they wanted God's word to be close to their hearts and close to their minds. But a day was promised where God said, He said, "I will give them one heart and a new spirit I'll put within them. And I'll remove that heart of stone from their flesh and I'll give them a heart of flesh so that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts." Now stick with us, okay? Last week, Jim talked about the celebration of Pentecost. And Pentecost was actually this celebration of the giving of the law, okay? So on Pentecost, they've been celebrating it for hundreds and hundreds of years. Hundreds of years later, during this festival to celebrate the giving of the law that was written on tablets of stone, which started out as instruction for the people, but it ended up enslaving the people. On that very same day, God sends His Spirit who will write the word of God on people's hearts, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's all what happened on Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and filled people. And the Holy Spirit is going to remind you of what Jesus says. He's going to remind you of what the word of God says. That's the primary way that He's going to encourage you. So what does that mean for us? That means you need to get in God's word. That means we listen when we come in here and we're listening from God's word. That means that we bring our Bibles so that we can read along and as we study. That means we're reading the Bible on our own. We're going to talk all about God's word next week. Make sure you're here for next week. But the Holy Spirit is going to use God's word to encourage you. The third thing the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit gives gifts. The Spirit will give you gifts and abilities you did not have before to the glory of God and for the good of the church. 1 Corinthians 12 says it like this. You can turn there if you'd like. But in 1 Corinthians 12, it said, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone." And I want you to leave that up there real quick. You'll see the Trinity right there in Scripture, on that slide right there. You see God the Spirit, you see Christ the Lord, and then you see the same God right there. The Trinity is in this section. The Trinity is a part of our spiritual gifts. So it says, "To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills." Right now, I do want to just save somebody an email if you're wanting to write it, okay? I know that there's somebody either in the room or online, they're going to want to send me an article about how the gifts of prophecy and speaking in tongues have ceased after the word was assembled. And traditionally speaking, that's the environment that I grew up in, but like biblically speaking, you just cannot get that from the entire word of God. Okay, guys, I've read it and it's just not there. It's bad exegesis. And so if you send that email to me, I'm gonna say, hey, thanks so much for passing this along. And then I'm deleting your email without following the link, okay? I just wanna save you some time. The Holy Spirit gives you spiritual gifts so that you can serve the good of others in the church. And in addition to the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, there's the gift of service and teaching and leadership and mercy and exhortation and giving. And again, what does Paul say the purpose of our gifts is? He says it like this. He says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Your gifts don't exist for you. They exist for the good of others. The spiritual gifts always go sideways when we focus more on the gifts than we do on the giver or the reason that he gave us the gifts. And if your gifts exist for the benefit of others, let me be clear about this. If you're not using the gifts that the Spirit has given you, then there are people in this world who are not getting what they need. They're not getting what God intended them to have, but God's counting on meeting their needs through your gifting. So do not bury the gifting that God has given you, that God wants other people to have, but he wants them to have it through your gift. You have gifts for a reason. So don't keep others from getting what they need. Use your gifts. But in order to use our gifts, we've got to know our gifts. And here's something that's so cool, okay? Our team has put together a resource for you where you can take a 3-minute assessment and find out what your spiritual gifts are. They're gonna be texting it out on Monday morning. So I wanna make sure you're a part of our text community. If you just text the word gifts to 80857, if you text gifts to 80857, you'll get a link where you can find out your spiritual gifts and then figure out how to use them. Then the next role of the Holy Spirit, it's related to this, and it's the Holy Spirit guides. Jesus said that when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he'll declare to you the things that are to come. And when we read through the book of Acts, which we're gonna do this summer, we're spending the whole summer in the book of Acts, there are these times, like multiple times, where you see the Holy Spirit tell a person to go talk to somebody else, tell a person to move to a new city, or tell a person to stay where they are. The Holy Spirit guides his people. But a big question for us that we gotta wrestle with is, how do we know that it's the Holy Spirit telling us to do something, and it's not just the bad tacos we had the night before? Okay, have you guys ever had that moment where you're like, I don't know if God's telling me to do this or if it's just in my own head? I wanna give you just 3 very quick guidelines for what this looks like. Okay, number one, it's going to feel like an impression in your spirit. This is hard to describe, but it's a thought in your mind or it's a feeling in your gut that doesn't actually feel like it's from your head or from your nature. It's gonna seem more like a prompting than a normal thought. The second step, it aligns with the word of God. You see, if the prompting doesn't align with the word of God, if it doesn't agree with what the Bible says, it's just not from the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit, he's going to guide us in the truth by reminding us of what Jesus says. And so if it goes against what Jesus says, it's not from the Holy Spirit. For instance, the Holy Spirit is never going to tell you to cheat on your wife. He's not going to tell you to do that, because if Jesus wouldn't say it, neither would the Holy Spirit. And then the third thing right here, it's affirmed by godly counsel. Now be very careful if that impression that you get in your heart isn't affirmed by other godly people that you trust. This is why it's so important for us to be a part of a group who's following Jesus together, so that you can discern what the Spirit is telling you together. One of the marks of the work of the Holy Spirit is this unity of heart and unity of mind with the community around you. So test what you think that you're hearing against the counsel of other godly people. And sometimes the Holy Spirit is actually going to use you to help guide someone else. He's going to prompt you to say something to somebody else, and it might be as simple as a word of encouragement at just the right time. It might be what you're hearing from the Spirit about something that might come in the future, and it might just be a phrase. And I would tell you, like, I've had two moments that I would describe as prophetical moments in my life, where somebody said something that impressed on my spirit so deeply. At the same time, it aligned with the Word of God. It was affirmed by godly counsel. One of them is why I'm still here at Flatirons. And I know that right now, as I say this, some of you guys are leaning out of me saying that right now. And I'll be honest, Jesse 6 years ago would have leaned out on this too. But let me appeal to the Bible on this. Do we think that Paul didn't know that the gifts of prophecy could be abused or used poorly at times? I mean, of course he knew that. That's why he talks about the proper way to do things. But he never says, don't use the gift because the gift could end up being abused. He said, it's a real thing, but we need to apply it carefully. And so if you're in a moment at some point, maybe it's later tonight, maybe it's this week, maybe it's months from now, and you feel like the Holy Spirit is prompting you to say something to someone else, just like he did all throughout the Bible, all through the life of Jesus, all throughout the book of Acts, can I tell you what not to say? Don't say, like, I have a prophecy for you. Or don't say, God told me to tell you that. Like, don't say that. If you wanna, like, if you're gonna say that, you better be careful, because back in Bible times, if a prophet said something was gonna happen and it didn't happen, do you know what they did to the prophet? They put the prophet to death. You wanna know why? Because they didn't want people who weren't speaking for God to keep on speaking and saying they're speaking for God. So we gotta be careful. So don't say that God told me. Don't say, I've got a word for the Lord from you, okay? Don't get all serious. Don't make deep eye contact. Don't try to over-enunciate your voice, okay? Look, if it's from the Spirit, it doesn't need anything extra from you. All right, instead, say it. I just recommend saying it like this. Hey, I think God put something on my heart for you. And if this resonates with your spirit, and later on God does something to confirm it, then it's probably from God. But if not, they probably put the wrong mushrooms on my pizza last night, and you just blame it on the pizza. You see, the Holy Spirit guides us. It's a promise. It's one of the things that he does. And oftentimes he's going to use others as the mouthpiece. Then the last role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit intercedes. You ever have a moment where you prayed a prayer that you would get a certain job and you didn't get it and you're disappointed, and then like 6 months later, the company goes bankrupt. You're like, thank God I did not get that job. Or you prayed that God would let you date a certain guy in college, and now you see him 15 years later on Facebook and you're like, thank you, Jesus, for not answering my prayer. The Holy Spirit is actually interceding for you in prayer. The Holy Spirit is standing on behalf of you in front of God saying, God, I know that's what they think that they want, but Father, here's what they need. Romans 8 describes it like this. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Have you ever had a moment where your soul is torn and your head is down and like life is just too heavy and too hard and too unsolvable and just too much, and you don't know what to do, you don't know what to ask, you don't know what to pray, you don't know what to say next, like all you can do is you just put your head between your hands and you just groan. When you don't know what to pray and when you're just done, the Spirit prays on your behalf. When you're praying for the thing that you think that you need, but actually in God's infinite wisdom, he knows that you don't need it. The Spirit is praying on your behalf. And so here's the truth of that. When you pray to get the job and it's a no, somehow that's actually a yes to God's best for you. When you pray to date the girl and it's a no, somehow that's actually a yes to God's best for you. When you pray that the cancer disappears and it's a no. And guys, I lost my dad to cancer years ago. I don't love this answer, but I believe this answer from the bottom of my heart. Somehow that's actually a yes to God's best for you. How do I know that? Because that's what Jesus says. And if we can't trust him, who can we trust? We might not understand it. Certainly at times I don't like it, but I still trust it. That he who intercedes in my weakness, he will work all things together for good. So here's a list again, if you want to take a picture of it. The Holy Spirit empowers, encourages, gifts, guides, and intercedes. So the big question for us tonight and the rest of our time together is, so how do we access the power of the Holy Spirit? And this is a two-part answer. The first part goes like this. We've got to keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5 says this. It says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Do we have any couples in the room who have different walking speeds? Just raise your hands if you have different walking speeds. You know, one's a fast walker, one's a slow walker. And my wife, Kara, I love her so much. She's a slow walker. I'm a fast walker, as you can imagine. And do you know how I try to get her to speed up? Start walking faster. I tell you what, it never works. Most of the time she just slows down. One time she walked in the other direction. She's like, I'm not doing this. But I saw this stat online, and so it must be true if I saw it online, okay? Studies show that fast walkers are statistically less happy than slow walkers. You know why that is? It's because we're stuck behind all the slow walkers, okay? If you just get out of our way, we'd be a whole lot happier. But like, if you're walking with somebody else, if you're walking with a spouse or a girlfriend or whatever that is, you're walking with each other, it requires a level of awareness of the other person. It requires us to pay attention to the speed that they're walking at. And in the same way, that's how we keep in step with the Spirit. I want you to grab your challenge card that you got when you came in. If you didn't get one of these, you'll be able to grab one on your way out. Some of us, right now, we would describe ourselves as we're out in front of the Spirit. We're just doing our own thing. Others of us were lagging behind the Spirit. We know the things that the Spirit's telling us to do. We know what we should do, but at the same time, we just haven't done it yet. What would this week look like if you just spent 5 minutes of each day paying attention to the presence of the Spirit? And so this is our challenge. It says on the card, you can read it with me. Take 5 minutes each day to remove distractions, sit in quiet reflection, allowing yourself to become aware of the presence of the Spirit. 5 minutes each day. That's 0.3% of this next week. What would this next week look like if we just spent 0.3% of the week, 5 minutes each day, focus on what the Holy Spirit wants to tell us next week? The Holy Spirit, he wants to give you gifts that you don't have. He wants to give you fruit that you can't produce. He wants to give you peace that you shouldn't have, direction that you don't have, wisdom that you don't have, power that you don't have. He just wants to give it to you. And when the Spirit is in you, when you're full of the Spirit, somehow you can be standing at a gravesite overcome with grief. And somehow with the Spirit in you, you can still have peace. When you're at the doctor's office and the doctor can't find the heartbeat on the ultrasound, somehow with the Spirit, you can still have joy. When you're signing the divorce papers of the divorce that you never planned on getting, that you never wanted, you're sitting at that table, somehow with the Spirit, you can still have hope. When you lose your job and you're driving home to your family, just wondering what you're gonna tell them, and you have no other options, with the Spirit, you can still have confidence. When your heart is beating because you just got so much nerves because you're about to tell your classmate about Jesus for the very first time, with the Holy Spirit, you can have courage. And when nobody's texting and nobody's calling and you just sit at home alone and you feel like just nobody cares, with the Holy Spirit, somehow you can still have a friend. When the Holy Spirit is in you, all things are possible. And for some of us, before we start keeping in step with the Spirit, what we actually need to do, we need to start out and we need to ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, Paul tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the word that he uses is this word of being continuously filled. And for some of us, we've just never even acknowledged the Spirit at all. We haven't invited him in. And a friend of mine, Tyler, he leads our Denver campus. He says this. He says, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He only goes where he's invited. So at all of our campuses, let's stand right now. We're gonna go through the five roles of the Holy Spirit. As I walk through these, if you need the Holy Spirit to fill you in a specific way, I just want you to put out your hands just like this when I mention that, just as a simple posture that you're ready to receive. You just keep them out as we keep on talking through this, and then I'm gonna take some time to pray that the Holy Spirit would fill those of us who are asking. And so right now, if you're in a situation and it feels like it's just too much and you need the strength and you need ability beyond what you have to walk through, what you're walking through, you need the Spirit to fill you and empower you. If that's you, I invite you to just put out your hands like this. And I want you to repeat after me, Holy Spirit, empower me. Holy Spirit, empower me. Right now, if you're discouraged, you're questioning your worth, you're questioning your value, you need the Spirit to encourage you. If this is you, I just invite you to hold out your hands and say, Holy Spirit, encourage me. Holy Spirit, encourage me. I mean, if you want to serve others, if you feel this calling on your life to serve other people, but at the same time, you're just like, I don't think I have anything to offer. I don't know what I have to offer. And you need the gifts that the Spirit has promised to give you. If this is you, hold out your hands and repeat after me, Holy Spirit, give me your gifts. Holy Spirit, give me your gifts. If you've got a decision in front of you, and this seems like it's one of those big decisions and you're not really sure what to choose, and you need the Holy Spirit's guidance. You need him to fill you and to guide you. If this is you, I invite you to hold out your hands. Say, repeat after me, Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, guide me. And last one, if what you're walking through is so hard and it's so impossible and like you're in the moment and all you can do is groan, first of all, I am so sorry that that's the place that you're in. But if that's you, I just want to invite you, if you want to invite the Holy Spirit to come and intercede on your behalf, hold out your hands and say, Holy Spirit, intercede for me. Holy Spirit, intercede for me. So God, right now, I pray for people who have put their hands open to say, God, they want to receive your Spirit. God, they want to be filled with your Spirit. God, we're walking through things right now that, God, nobody who's sitting right or left of us knows how heavy they are, but at the same time, God, you do. And you promised that your Holy Spirit would be a friend who would walk with us. It would be someone who comes and empowers us. And so, God, I pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit so we can do the things that we cannot do on our own. So, God, we ask that your Spirit would fill us, and we wait for you to fill us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for watching Flatirons Church Online. We are creating new content and streaming every Sunday. So if you want to stay connected with us, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. And hey, if you believe in what God's doing here, you want to help us impact the world, go ahead and hit the Give Now button and you will help us reach people in a lost and broken world. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you right here next weekend.